As we make preparations this day to hear the gospel lesson from Mark for us, if you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands. That is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands. And thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. They abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the teachings in Mark's gospel this day, the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray for a sense of peace and comfort. Comfort, O God, especially from those activities of our daily lives and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. We all remember how our moms and dads were concerned about whether or not our hands were clean when we sat down at the dinner table. We all know how many trips we made into the bathroom to scrub them with soap and water and to dry them on the towel. The Pharisees were also worried about dirty hands. But Jesus had a different matter in mind. Jesus was more concerned and worried about dirty hearts. The Pharisees believed that personal and social problems could be solved by following rules. But according to Jesus, the basic problem with human beings is a heart trouble. The laws and the rules that were favored by the Pharisees make us appear righteous on the outside, but they cannot change our hearts, which is where the problems begin. Every war that has ever been ignited was started in someone's heart. Every marriage that has ever crumbled died first in someone's heart. Every murder, every theft, every hurtful word, every abuse of a helpless child, every act of deceit, every betrayal is born first in one's heart. You see, my friends, that's why the law may control us. And we need law for just that reason. But the law cannot heal us. Missionary once told the story about an African village where the people suffered from a chronic illness. The medical missionaries treated over and over and over again the sick with medicine and antibiotics, but the villagers became sick again as soon as the treatments ended. And finally, the doctors discovered that the root of the problem was a contaminated well. No amount of medicine could cure these people in this village as long as their well was unclean. Only when a new well was dug that community returned to health and wholeness. The sickness in the village was merely a symptom of literally a deeper problem. And so it is with you and me. When we do things we regret, when we do things we know that are wrong, regardless of how big or how small, our actions are only visible symptoms of a deeper, deeper problem. Our hearts are separated from God. Our hearts can be far from God. Someone says or shares that half of the book of Psalms came from hearts struggling to get close to God. And the writers of the books of Psalm express this in many different ways. They said God is like a great rock in the desert, in the burning desert, a rock that's big enough that we can get close enough to it and enjoy its comforting shade. But you move away and you are in the burning desert and you die. They said God is like a mother cuddling and nursing her child, and you take that child away from its mom and the child starves for food and love. The psalmist says that God is like a spring of water in the desert. And we all know that in the desert, when there is a spring of water, there is an oasis. And there is that lush green vegetation and growth. And yet you move a few steps away, and suddenly there is only baked, dead earth. The author of the book of James, the letter of James. It's concerned about the multitude of things in the life of the church. It's concerned about the wealthy pushing aside the poor. The author of James believes that one's Christian life should be expressed in deeds and acts of charity. Holds that one's neighbor fulfills the law, and Christians should not neglect their obligations to aid their poverty-stricken and suffering brothers and sisters. One needs to have their heart close to God. Have you ever asked someone in the past, "Why did you do that?" And they might just simply say, "I had to." But if you ask my dad why, back in June, 3 days before his 80th birthday, he jumped out of an airplane attached to a parachute, he would just say, "Had to do it before I died." I think he's a little odd, but that's my dad. The whole thrust of having our hearts connected to God is to be able to respond to life situations by saying, "Why did you do what you did? I had to." As God's children, had to Christians do everything they can to help make heaven present here on earth. Had to Christians live out the meaning of these words when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Are you a had to believer? Why are you volunteering to clean up that vacant lot? I had to. Why are you taking time off to read to children in a nearby elementary school and to listen to them read to you? I had to. You don't have time to organize a community daycare program. No, but I had to. It's a waste of time to work at passing legislation. Had to. Aren't you feeling sick? Why did you clean up your room? Had to. That'd floor us if our kids said that. Your Alzheimer parent, friend, neighbor doesn't even know that you're there. Why do you bother to spend so much time with him or her? Well, I had to. It's no use pushing this church well into the 21st century. It's never going to change. Well, I had to. Do you know how much it costs to feed the birds in the winter? Sure, but I had to. Why do you smile and say something nice to every person you meet along the way? I had to. You never waste an opportunity, do you, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and his love to others? Why? Oh, I had to. I had to. My friends, as we journey through this week, let's bring a little heaven down to earth. And let each of us be a had-to Christian. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, why did you send your Son Jesus Christ into our world? You had to. Jesus, why did you give your life on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? You had to. Oh God, we are grateful and thankful for all that you have done and all of the gifts and you blessings that you shower upon us. And now may we go into the world and not only be the good news, but share the good news, because we had to. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.